Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest here. If you love great games and a little extra excitement to your day, I got something fun for you. Chumba Casino and I have teamed up to create an exclusive online social casino game. It's called Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's fun and free to play, just like all your favorites from Chumba Casino. And every spin brings 10,000 ways to keep the good times going. Check it out and play for free today at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Thursday morning. And we welcome in our good friend Charles Robinson to the program on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Charles, good morning. How are you?
I want to know about the slander where Joe was telling people I was slow in the running of the Bulls. How would Joe know?
That did happen.
That I was slow.
I think you told me you were slow. No?
Listen, man, there's so many people, it's hard to be fast, okay? But you feel fast as soon as you see you see some Bulls coming at you. You feel, you know, I got a couple pictures from it, and there's a guy next to me who I was hip-checking and forearm-checking the entire way, and he was wearing a T. Martin jersey. So there is a Tennessee tie-in.
Go Vols, baby.
Was it T. Martin? Talking about. Was it T. Martin?
Yeah, the guy was dirty. I was like, get your hands off me, man.
If you're trying not to stand out to a Bull, I mean, the T. Martin jersey.
I'm pretty sure it was the dark T. Martin jersey too.
That's a little too close to red, isn't it?
Yeah. Not the.
Well,
not
let me ask you, did you have tennis shoes on or did you go flip flops? Because apparently the Australians up there, they go flip flops.
No, tennis shoes. Come on, man.
Did you see anybody with flip-flops?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was all kinds of, madness, the stuff people would wear. And it was, I'll just tell you, I knew, even before the World Cup, I could have told you some stories about Australians and how crazy they are. And I just remember, I ran it a couple of days in a row, and there were Australians that I don't think slept any of the nights. But they were there to do it, and they would run completely tanked, like tanked to the hilt. And I just don't understand.
The only way I'd possibly get out there.
Yeah, right. I mean, I guess liquid courage, but, man.
Hurts less.
Good Lord.
Hurts
certainly, less. It makes it a lot easier to not run in a straight line.
That's true.
You're a little more elusive.
Yeah, a little zigzag out there. Well, Charles, we're just a couple weeks out from training camp here in the National Football League. So football is right around the corner. So talk to us a little bit about your camp plans and maybe some of the things you'll be doing.
Yeah. So it's coming together. So basically my plan is I've always done like a month-long camp tour. I will be doing that. So I'm going to be setting out. On July 22nd, I'm going to get out to Phoenix. They're going to be opening camp early since they have the Hall of Fame game. So I'll be in with the Cardinals, and then I'll start working west. Cardinals, Raiders, Chargers, Rams, Cowboys, 49ers, and then take a right turn for the Broncos, and then Vikings. I'm going to get a Titans practice in there.
Yeah.
And, Chiefs, Bears, Browns. Work my way east. The plan is to try and get, if I can manage it, around 25 teams in between August or July 22nd and August 25th. So it'll be, still some kind of finessing that goes on later in the tour. And I'll be doing some work for front office sports while I'm out. And then another unnamed project that I'll probably be able to talk about next week once it kind of gets moving forward. Nice. So yeah, it's been good to talk to teams and just kind of lay things out and get things moving again, and I'm looking forward to it. I've taken my hiatus for about a month off social media and just geared things up and gotten myself pointed in the right direction. I'm excited to get out and work. Please let the day I visit for Titans practice be as, nice as it was. I think the last time it was there, it was very, very pleasant. Let's not have any of those 80% humidity days.
We'll work on that.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be too optimistic. Well, we're excited about your project, but I have to, why don't you just tell us the seven teams that you're that you are dismissing as irrelevant that you're not visiting?
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's
are you dissing the Lions? Please tell me you're dissing the Lions.
I am the Lions right now, as it stands, and I can't say anyone's completely off because I added in the Bears, you know, later in the tour, and I didn't expect to, but just the way this works out logistically, once you're kind of moving and you're traveling, you're looking at, well, okay, how can I pull as many back-to-back-to-backs, which is like, I'm in a practice, you know, I get my work done, you know, in the building, get a chance to talk to some people, jump in the car, go to the airport, immediately fly out to the next city in a practice the next day. So it's the momentum I'm trying to, you know, develop, and you always kind of try and develop, is just to do as many back-to-back practices as possible. And then, you know, that you end up regionally when you're kind of stuck, you're like, okay. So for example, I'll tell you how the Bears got added. I was in Chiefs practice. I had, you know, Chiefs practice set up, and then I start to look at flights. You know, do I fly to Cleveland? You know, who else has a practice the next day? And it turned out that, you know, the Bears fit in. It's an easy shot, just, you know, quick flight. And then it makes it easier just to transition to the Browns, you know, for their practice on the 12th. So when you look at, there will be like, there's going to be a run of the 7th. I plan on being the August 7th. I plan on being with the Broncos. The 8th. I plan on being with the Vikings. The 9th, the Titans, the 10th, the Chiefs, the 11th, the Bears, the 12th, the Browns, and so forth. And so, you know, the Lions at one point came up. Maybe I would work them in. But the ones that I kind of feel like, you know, the Seahawks, because they're tucked away and it kind of throws off your rhythm, probably won't make it there. The Buccaneers, because they're across the entire side of the country. And by the time I get down to Florida, you know, the team I really want to get in again is the Jaguars. So you kind of have to pick and choose when you're getting toward, you know, the late August period. You know, Lions probably won't make it just because the schedules don't work out.
Yeah, Dolphins, screw those guys. That's fine.
Yeah, you know, Dolphins, I'm not going to recognize anybody there.
Dolphins.
Hey, it's Malik Willis.
UFL and roster.
John Robinson.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, guys.
That's right. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's always challenging kind of figuring out. It's like the Tetris you play with the travel schedules. And I guarantee you I will have screwed up somewhere. There's always a situation where I'm like, how did I think I was going to make it from St. Joseph, you know, where the Chiefs work out? How did I think I was going to make it to the airport in time for this flight in 40 minutes? Yeah. You know, I'm like basically begging for a flight to be late. Yeah, so it's always fun. I'm excited though. This is to me the most exciting part of the year, just because you get to see everybody's fresh, everybody's pretty excited and forward looking, and you get to see what changes have been made with players. I want to see Cam Ward getting through. I'm really excited to see Cam Ward and any progress that he's made over the offseason.
Yep, looking forward to that. Great news that you'll be doing that, and looking forward to football right around the corner. George Pickens, Charles, he is going to play on the tag here this year. It just became way more difficult to trade George Pickens as well. So
yeah,
he's going to play,
yeah,
and he's going to be with the Cowboys, and then we'll see kind of what the long-term situation looks like after that. But what's your read on this, I guess, from the Cowboys' perspective and the way that they've handled it?
Well, both sides have stayed true to what, you know, they were saying in the offseason, which was when the Cowboys tagged him, the underlying message really coming out of the organization was we intend on, you know, playing him on this tag, and we value him, and we're not, you know, walking away from a long-term extension here. But we're going to go through the 2026 season and figure out how exactly that could be massaged into the system. And then Pickens' side, the message was, we're fine with that. We'll play. Like, I'll bet on myself. Like, Pickens certainly sent that out, you know, to the Cowboys, to the fan base. Like, he wasn't going to be someone who was going to hold out of the process, that he was he was going to be there and you know, basically pull a Dak Prescott and, you know, play for what he expects will be a monumental offer after the 2026 season. Now, from the money standpoint, I mean, this is, I think if Pickens replicates what he did in 2025 for the Cowboys, I think if he's, as long as there's no significant issues inside the building, you know, I don't, and I think, you know, it's come up that there's some tardiness problems at times, but he showed up every single Sunday and he balled out. And when CeeDee Lamb went down, he showcased very clearly, I am a number one wide receiver in the system. I mean, his money's going to go where they project it, into the 40s and deep into the 40s. Like, this is, they're aiming for the 45, you know, $40 to $45 million extension. And I think there's a chance that he gets it if he just plays up to, you know, the level he played to last year and shows that, you know, there's an element of maturity that's starting to get there. And he's not going to be somebody that you constantly have to worry about, you know, inside the building. We've talked about outside the building. He's not that kind of guy. Like, he's, you know, I think George Pickens outside the building is like a video game guy. Like, he's not a, you know, it's not a, you're going to have to, George is in the club every other night, or George is, you know, on a boat with a bunch of individuals holding things in his hand, or you're like, what is that? You know, he isn't that surfaced in that way. We'll talk about the other receiver
who was on a
boat with people who had things in their hands that we had to do some forensic studies on in a minute. But yeah, I think this is, it's played out as well and as quiet as it could have. And I think I question that actually would be the case, especially David Mulugeta being his agent, and especially knowing how, you know, things went down last summer, obviously with a very highly prominent David Mulugeta client who did not end up playing for the Cowboys last offseason. So it'll certainly be fun to watch, and Dak Prescott's got to be happy because, you know, that offense, there's nothing indicating that offense should take a step back from what it was last year.
Well, you brought it up, you know, the guy who not long ago was getting moral and character guidance from Mike Vrabel, Stephon Diggs, is out there. What is he looking at this point?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I mean, obviously, there have been a lot of headlines about all the civil suits that he faces right now. So it's certainly not the cleanest situation off the field, but I don't think he is going to go without opportunities as we move forward. You know, in the process, I just think the teams out there that are going to be available to him, they're going to be not as ripe as what I think it could have been had, you know, he not had, you know, some of these suits that he's dealing with and just the general distraction. He played well enough with the Patriots last year to have a solidly deep market this year for what I think would be a top end number two receiver. You know, I know he thinks that he's still got the chops and that a few teams maybe have weaker number one receivers than he would fill. But I think most teams view him as, you know, a high end number two, and but also a short term investment as well. You're looking probably at what would amount to a 2026 contract. I feel like that's how his career is going to go the rest of the way. Now where becomes the big question. You know, will he return to the New England Patriots? I don't think so, because I think they've really rebuilt that wide receiver room up until this point. I wouldn't completely take them out of the mix. I mean, if he remains unsigned long enough and you start to get into camp and maybe something isn't breaking the way that, you know, they're comfortable with in New England, I could see Drake May saying, hey, you know, I had a good rapport with that guy. Like, maybe Drake May leans on it a little bit and wants Stephon Diggs back in the building. But right now, I think the more likely outcome is, you know, the Washington Commanders are absolutely still looking for a wide receiver addition. And the situation with Brandon Ayuk is just looking worse and worse and worse. And it feels less and less likely. The more I listen to Brandon Ayuk, the more I see what he's doing on social media, the more I feel like inside the Washington franchise, there's some dragging momentum in terms of really counting on Brandon Ayuk becoming part of you know, that team. So I think the Commanders would definitely be a team that I would put up there. You know, he's from, remember, Diggs played at Maryland. He's from the DMV area. You know, Baltimore is another team that needs a wide receiver that I think, and they've had some, you know, success bringing in some, I don't want to say cast offs, but some guys that are in this phase of their career where they've been productive, but are kind of at the end. I think Baltimore's and, you know, Lamar Jackson's the kind of veteran quarterback that I think you would ideally want to pair with Stephon Diggs at this stage in his career. You just need somebody that's can command the situation a little bit and keep him, you know, on task while he's in the organization. And then the one I would put out there that I don't get seen talked about much, but I know that they certainly tried to dip into the wide receiver market earlier in the offseason. Look, the LA Rams, once you get past Puka Nacua and Devontae Adams, it's a little thin, you know, in terms of, look, Jordan Whittington's there, obviously, but you're overall, when you look at the wide receiver depth chart, when you get past the top two guys, there's a little bit of a drop-off there. And, you know, you have to remember that the Rams also took a shot on Odell Beckham at a time where it was like, you know, what does he still bring to the table? Or is there like outside stuff you have to worry about with him? And he went in and things went really, really well. And not only that, I think Matthew Stafford, again, is another veteran quarterback who would have no problem dealing with, you know, bringing in Stephon and just being like, hey, the football's the football. Let's do this. We're all here to win a Super Bowl now. By the way, we also have Myles Garrett, who if you become a problem, you know, Myles Garrett's not going to be shy about, you know, calling it out. Just the overall structure, I think, from a veteran standpoint, would put the Rams into that position. And, you know, they'll take some gambles on some talent, and especially when it's a one-year deal.
That just seems really unfair. Diggs as the third receiver with that team? Good God.
Yeah, right, yeah. And I think that's the dark horse. Especially knowing their mentality right now is to maximize this 2026 season as best they can. If they can, I think if it's a 1 year deal, and you know Diggs is the kind of opportunities are limited elsewhere for Diggs. I really think that's a dark horse team nobody's talking about.
Just keep them off the boat; be fine at that point. So Charles, we've talked a lot about the Michigan scandal going on this week, Jim Harbaugh, all those things, and I'm looking at the Chargers this year. And, you know, we know, I mean, Herbert always gets put in these same categories as some of the elite guys when it comes to just the physical profile. And look, some of the plays that he makes, he's a really good quarterback. He has not won a playoff game to this point in his career. So how do you kind of view the Chargers, Herbert, where he is, the narrative that's around him in that franchise right now, and how well-equipped they are maybe heading into this year to change it and actually start to do something in the postseason?
Yeah, I think part of the thing with the Chargers that I want to know when I go in is can you just get your offensive line back healthy, right? Let's see what this looks like. If you can get Joe Alt, Rashawn Slater there for an entire season, you know, and that's obviously a huge question. It's one of those things with Herbert where we've had moments where we thought, okay, he's ascending. He's going to be one of these next guys. He's going to be someone who challenges to be on that Patrick Mahomes level. But then I feel like surrounding him, there have always been issues, whether he was playing at times hurt, but you know, the line was banged up. The running back situation wasn't where Jim Harbaugh really wanted it. And now I think on top of not only the offensive line, which will be a huge, you know, question heading into this season, I think when you look at the skill position pieces that Herbert's going to be working with, like Ladd McConkey is clearly, unless you go out and you add, you know, another veteran in the offseason, Ladd McConkey is your number one wide receiver. And, you know, I will just say after last season, after his rookie season where he was force-fed, you know, opportunities were force-fed his way just due to the setup, the situation. And he had an awesome monster season. But the question with him coming into the league is if this is going to be a guy who gets, let's say, 150 targets in a season and it's with regularity, can he hold up, you know, at his size? Because he's just not, you know, you're talking about a 6 foot, 180 pound wide receiver who had some injuries when he played at Georgia. He's your number one, Justin Herbert. You have, you know, so let's see, can you make this work with him, you know, getting volume? You know, Quentin Johnston, what is he at this point? We keep, it's like every year we have these these ups and downs with him. That's your number two, who now has to show up and be consistent, not drop footballs. And Trey Harris, I don't even know what we're getting out of Trey Harris at this point. I mean, he's just, he did not show a lot in his rookie season. So right off the bat, the top three guys that Herbert's working with, there's a lot of tread that has to be illustrated, I think, in training camp, and you're going to have some health. And even Aronde Gadsden, who and they added David Njoku, which I would expect they play a lot of two tight end sets this season to get both those guys on the field. Gadsden had some great flashes last year. He also disappeared a number of games as well. So we'll see how the offense gets structured. No doubt a lot of two tight end sets. They'll run the heck out of the ball for Marion Hampton if he's, you know, healthy. But they need certainly one of those wide receivers. And I really think it's got to be Ladd McConkey's got to show up and be – I don't want to put this on him, but he has to play that JSN role for them. That's really what he has to do. He has to be a volume guy who catches everything and just gives opponents fits.
Okay, real quick, back to the Rams, Charles. As of this moment – if you had to, bet, I guess. Let's say you had to bet. Aaron Donald is playing for the Rams this year or not? Got a sigh. Got a deep sigh. Two sighs.
I think he will. Like, okay. I do think there's an element of, those number one, the Rams want him. Everybody in the organization wants him. Number two, I do think it's real that he wonders what it would look like playing alongside a guy like Myles Garrett. Number three, I don't want to say there's boredom there, but it's funny to me that at certain prominent times, there always seems to be a video popping up of Aaron Donald like, hey, look, I'm ready. I'm still in the weight room. I'm still in better shape than everybody on your roster. I think it'll be interesting to see how it plays out, because I know Sean McVay's thing. I don't know if, you know, how public he would be about it, but I know his thing is that's a guy that could come in late. You know, like he's not a guy who's got to be here day one of camp. And, you know, we're worried about whether or not he's going to be in shape. So I almost wonder if it's you get through the dog days of the first week or two, and then, you know, you get something done and he comes in and is able to hit the ground running because he knows the system and he knows, you know, what his usage is going to be. And it still feels to me like fantasy, but everybody to me seems to want it. And I don't see any indication from Aaron Donald that, he's not at least excited about the idea. And the Rams, when it comes to money, I don't think that's even a question. Like, they'll figure out a way to make it work. Like, they're among the league elite at figuring out how to restructure things and, you know, make the money available. And that falls right into the Diggs conversation that we had. Like, I don't think the Rams are going to leave anything on the table if it's realistically an option for them. I don't think they're going to leave anything on the table. They know that it's time to, you know, maximize the Super Bowl window with Matthew Stafford. And they're treating the next 2 years like this is the all in, the same way they treated, you know, when you go back and look at acquiring Stafford as that all in.
Well, that's pretty scary to think about. Like, if he comes back and is, you know, half the player he was.
You can't tell me. I don't even know what you would do when you put those two, like, line those two guys up next to each other. I can't even figure out how you would. There's an entire series. That should be an HBO series of let's just concentrate on this part of the Rams defensive line and get everybody mic'd up.
So I mean, Donald hasn't played for a bit, but yeah, I'm sure, you know.
It's still probably pretty scary.
Yeah.
Joe, I'm just telling you, he is like that one guy. And there's not many that I would realistically say this about over the, 20 years of covering the league. He's one of those one guys where I'm like, he could just walk in and it'll take him almost no time to start wrecking it. And especially when he's not, just the focal point. He was getting triples on his way out of the league, and you're not getting triples anymore now. And I would be stunned if that were a guy who got added to the Rams and we go, oh, you know what? Yeah, no, he's kind of lost it. I don't think he's lost it.
Can't wait to see Matt freaking LaFleur try to solve that problem the day before Thanksgiving. That won't ruin my turkey at all. Looking forward to that.
Don't focus on
it. I'm sure he'll start working on it November 22nd.
Yeah. One day at a time.
Or that's how Robbie sees it.
Yeah. Work on it November 24th. Thank you, Charles. Appreciate your time as always. Excited to hear what's going to be going on with you here in camp, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Sounds good, guys. Take care.
Charles Robinson with us every Thursday morning at 8 o'clock here on the program. A lot to react to there from Charles. We'll do that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.